Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon texts are our Old Testament and Gospel lessons. So the last time that I preached, I talked about the importance of learning God's word and teaching God's word to your children, that when the devil tempts them by twisting God's word, they could stand against his temptations. And during that sermon, I used both our Old Testament lesson and our gospel lesson as examples of when the devil does that. I suppose I should have looked ahead as to not preach the same sermon again today. Regardless, instead of doing the exact same sermon, I've decided to look deeper at God's word and how to prepare yourselves and your children to withstand the temptations of the devil. Today, I'm going to preach about the Ten Commandments and incorporate the Ten Commandments throughout the sermon. We sang Luther's Ten Commandment hymns. So I don't want to toot my own horn about being a good sponsor by explaining the commandments and the creed and the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to preach a whole sermon about the Ten Commandments. So toot toot. The devil attacks. He twists God's word. And what that means for us is the fact that the devil knows God's word. Do we, his children who are called to walk by that word, do we know the word of God? He threw lies at Eve. Did God really say you can't eat of any tree? He twists it. She falls. The devil does the same thing to Jesus. Thankfully, Jesus, being the very word incarnate, knows the scriptures. He quotes them back at the devil. He says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." He says that you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Are we prepared to do the same thing? God gave his commandments to his people, not just for the Jews of old, but for his children this very day. They show us how we are to walk. They show us our sins. They show us that we need Jesus. And so when the devil tempts you and he says, "Did God really say you can't trust in other things? Did God really say that you shouldn't listen, or that you should listen to his word each and every day? Did God really say that you can't trust yourself? Surely you know how to make good decisions. You don't need God to tell you what to do. Or that the Bible was so old, it can't tell us what we need for today." Well, you shall have no other gods. Luther adds meanings for each of the commandments. They are meanings that we memorize as Lutheran Christians for life, not just to get through confirmation, but they should be a part of our very child rearing. That these are words that we hold on to each and every day. Luther says, what does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Do we really do that? Or do we fear what the world says about us? Do we fear what the devil says about us? Do we actually stand alone on the word of God? Or do we fall for anything? Did God really say you can't use his name any way you want? Surely, that name is used in your workplace, on the radio, in every movie and television show. Surely, it's okay to use it. Everybody else is doing it. God's Old Testament people were so afraid to misuse his name that they stopped calling him by name. God has delivered his name as Yahweh. He has placed it upon each and every one of his children. He's placed it on you in your baptism. They were so afraid to misuse his name that they began calling him Adonai, that is, Lord, a fitting and proper name. Do we hold God's name with the same high regard, or do we fall with everyone else? God has given us his name, that we may call upon his name, that we may thank and praise it. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse swear, use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. Call upon his name. He hears his children when they cry, and he answers them. The devil also attacks. It's Sunday morning. You don't feel like getting up. You get up every morning to go to work. Surely God's going to be fine with you taking a day off. Do you really need to go to church every week anyway? Don't your kids' sports matter more to you? Don't you love your children enough to make sure that they get ahead in sports or academics or whatever the case may be? Did God really say you should be in church? The devil tells the world, and the world has accepted the lie, that you can be spiritual and not religious. That religion is bad. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. God created heaven and earth in 6 days. On the seventh, he rested, not because God needs to rest, but because his children need to rest. And the best way to rest is to rest in the Lord. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. God's word actually does talk about the importance of attending worship. Many people have bought into the lie that I can be a Christian without ever going to church. I pray at home, I read my scriptures at home, but what does God's word actually say? It says this, John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Romans 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hebrews 10, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. St. Paul gives us a recollection that he was given about the night in which Christ was betrayed, his institution of the supper. He writes, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Acts chapter 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Luke 11. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. After Jesus had taught about how his flesh is spiritual food and his blood is spiritual drink, he recognized that many would abandon him. And he speaks about this very fact. He says, the Bible tells us in John 6, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do we hold those words in our hearts? Do we come to his house to receive that word each and every week, to receive the benefits of his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins? Or do we listen to the devil who tells us that we don't need the things of God? The devil also attacks you by saying that you don't need to give honor and respect to your parents or your teachers or your pastors or the police or anyone in government. Surely we know better than they do. God says, honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. God sustains us when the devil attacks. And the devil attacks by telling you that it's not really murder if that life has not been born, or if they are too old to understand what is going on. Surely that's not murder. Surely it's your choice what to do with a life. Did God really say you can't do these things? God says, you shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. Not only are we not to kill or murder, but we are to hold our brother or sister up. We are to help him when he has fallen, when he is hurt, when he is lying by the wayside in need of help. The devil also has attacked the sixth commandment more than most. And unfortunately, our society has gone along with it. Did God really say that marriage is between one man and one woman? Can't we have gotten past this by now? Surely all that matters is that two people love each other. It doesn't matter what they are or what they think they are. Does it really matter? And really, who needs marriage anyway? We can live together outside of marriage. Marriage isn't for life. It's for as long as I like someone. What does God really say? You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead chaste and decent lives in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other for life. The devil attacks. He says, it's not stealing to take extra pay or to not work so hard. Surely you deserve this. Your neighbor doesn't need it. What does God actually say? You shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. Do we help our neighbor in need? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? The devil also attacks. And he says, did God really say you can't share that juicy bit of gossip? Isn't it exciting when you get a piece of information that no one knows, even if it's a lie? Surely it's okay to share this. What does God's word actually say? You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Luther's meaning, we should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. When we hear lies about our neighbor, do we actually bring them to his attention or do we spread it? Do we defend our neighbor, knowing that it is not true, or do we simply share? Do we build our neighbor up in our words and deeds toward him, or do we help to break him down? And the devil attacks, and he says, surely everything you have is not from God. You've worked for it. This is yours. And look at how great your neighbor has it. Don't you wish that you had what they had? You don't need to be content with what God gives. But God says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. And the 10th goes right along with it. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty. Do we actually reach out to our neighbor? Do we say, brother, how can I help you? What can I do to assist you? Because that's exactly what God has called us to do as a community of believers coming together to support one another, to be happy with what God truly has given, to be stewards of those gifts. Before we think that the commandments are child's play or not important for us today, keep in mind the close of the commandments. Also from Exodus chapter 20, what does God say about all these commandments? He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Does God still get angry at sin? Look at Luther's meaning of this. What does this mean? God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against him. But, and here's the gospel, but he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands. Children of God, you fail at this every day. I fail at this every single day. God knew that. And that is why in the garden, after Adam and Eve have sinned, God proclaims what Jesus would do. He says that his heel will be bruised, but that in the bruising of his heel, he shall crush the devil's head. Internalize God's word, so that when the devil attacks you, you can defend yourself with it just as Jesus did in our gospel lesson. Know those words. Proclaim those words back to the devil. Teach them to your children when you sit down and when you get up. Come to his house to be filled with the word of God, to be filled with his sacraments. You have been called out of darkness. God's holy name was placed on you at that font. You are his children. He loves you. He hears your cries for mercy. When you fail, repent. Return to the cross. See what your God has done for you. Confess your sins and be forgiven. And when the devil attacks you with those sins that have been forgiven, remember these words from Martin Luther. So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, I shall be also. In other words, be gone, Satan. Amen. The church sings. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me. Amen. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.